Oh, we're made for these times. I don't think it's by accident that our souls have chosen to be present, because these definitely are interesting times. All you have to do is turn on the news, whichever side you're on, and it is a bit on the chaotic and negative side. But at the same time, in the midst of all of that, there are all these wonderful things happening. People helping one another, the fires in Hawaii, the stories of people who saved others and went back to get someone who they realized may have been left behind to get them to safety. When there's an emergency, not only the spiritual angels come out, but the angels of our own being have an opportunity to show up. The interfaith movement is bigger than it's ever been. Our world, in some ways, is bigger because we realize the amazing variety of cultures and languages and belief systems, spiritual systems. Ways of viewing culture are so different, and yet at the same time, it's much smaller than it's ever been. Because all we have to do is look on our phone or look on our TV, and we know what's going on the other side of the world. Not from a major news source perspective, but from individuals who are sharing. So, our world, this is a time for all of us. And we're each just simply called to start where we are. She says, in Certainty of Purpose, there is no one but us. There is no one else to send. There is no one but us. There never has been. Practicing certainty of purpose is a commitment to figure out why we are here and what we are going to do about it. And I love that today we're doing certainty of purpose and surrender. Because initially, when you start studying New Thought in particular, the importance of setting your intention and visioning, doing vision boards, meditating and seeing something as already accomplished, acting as if, that world of mind action is hugely important. And it is. It's not so much what the world is as how we perceive the world to be. That's what affects everything for us. But at the same time, we're taught in Unity about the power of prayer, the beauty of surrendering, realizing you're not doing it alone, that there are angels and other people who agreed before we even took that first breath to be present here with you. To walk this path, to grow and to learn with you, to share their gifts, and for you to receive the gifts they bring to you. Both are equally important. She says the purpose of life is not to be comfortable, but it's to grow the soul. And we are the ones we've been waiting for, is what the wonderful Hopi saying says. And when we first started working on this project for this building, the question that David had us ask that was absolutely perfect is if now, if not now, when? And if not us, who? We each have to be as present as possible in the lives that we have and to do it more consciously than ever before. She talks about the importance of story in this chapter, which I thought was really interesting, tying certainty of purpose with story. And because the stories that we tell are how we frame our lives and give it meaning. It's not by accident that from early in childhood, we hear stories that kind of teach us things, how to be compassionate, how to respond to to fear, how to overcome things. And all of the stories, there's usually a kind of a pattern to it that we now call the hero's journey or the heroine's journey. And you get called out of where you are into something new. And half of it is below what's called the event horizon. And that's going into the mystery and the unknown and finding the treasures that are there, as well as the things that go bump in the night that scare you. That in confronting, they release their power over you. And it's wonderful because in the hero's journey, you always have allies. You have kindred spirits you find that can do this with you. And so she says, one of the great things you can do for yourself is ask, just simply say for yourself, once upon a time, there was a man, woman, person, they, who, and then fill it in. I invite you to go home this week, and at some point, once there was a blank who, and see what comes. Does it start in your childhood? Does it start when you were a teen? Does it start as an adult? Just see what your soul reveals to you about the essence of your story, because the Genesis tells you a lot about the path you're on and what you're learning. She says this helps us reveal where we come from, who we think we are, and where we think we're headed. So think of your life as a little bit of a story this week. Where have you come from? Where are you now? And where are you headed? And then, after you've done that, she says, do right now in my life, dot, dot, dot. Right now, on that journey of soul, what's before me? What are my options? Right now, what? A lot of her work with the seven whispers is to listen and then to allow yourself to respond. I love it. She has some key questions. But she also includes one of my favorite passages from Wordsworth that I've read before here. Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come, from God who is our home. I've always loved that, trailing clouds of glory. All you have to do is look in the eyes of a newborn, trailing clouds of glory, they're still there.
Can you tell me who that book is?
Oh, this is The Seven Whispers, cried Christina Baldwin. That's our series right now. Yes, it's a wonderful book, available, I think, on Amazon still. So, Wordsworth, I've always loved that because he says, not in utter forgetfulness. I know I was one of the kids that wasn't dipped in that river of forgetfulness long enough. As a child, I've had remembrances of other spiritual dimensions. I can connect with people who are on the other side. I kind of remembered past lives. I mean, I was a very interesting child. And I love to go out and bless all the little, like the spiders in the tree. And so, for me, I, because of my brother Doug, had an early remembrance and a knowing of kind of why I was here. What are you going to do? How are you going to live a life of service? And you've got to find your own path. Each one of us came with a mission on our hearts. In the Old Testament, even, it said, it's writ upon your heart, the truth, love, how you're going to live. And she has a few key questions that before you take that first breath were some of the things that you thought about and that we can think about anew today to rededicate ourselves to being who we've been sent to be. What is this soul coming to contribute? Who will help support this purpose? Where are the others along the path? What challenges will be faced? Where comes love? How will death find this one and bring him or her home? Wonderful, wonderful questions. Certainty of purpose, it says, begins when we believe that we have one. It starts with believing that you've got a higher purpose, a deeper calling than just the outer appearance of life. This longing will guide you, sometimes with great confusion, sometimes with astounding clarity. It attunes me with the voice of guidance that rises within me. And so spend a little time each day, if you can, asking, okay, this is where I am, this is what I've got, how can I serve? Oh, this is where I am, this is what I've got, what's the next best step? This is where I am, this is who I am, what mystery is opening before me? Because when you can be in wonder and curiosity, the whole world comes alive with its magic for you. So the power of certainty of purpose, it's writ upon your hearts, it's who you are. It's absolutely the unique expression of God that you are. So with this certainty of purpose, you move forward. But as you do that, you also surrender it. There is a wonderful book that we did a series on a number of years ago that was from the Hicks, from the Abraham teachings, and it's about manifestation. And you set your intention and you hold it, but you also release it to let the universe respond. And then you try and put yourself in a place to be open to receive it. So the intention is one of part of three things. It's essential, but it's not the only thing. I know so many people, when I first got into New Thought, that a thing that I struggled with is setting an intention and just holding on to it with closed fists. This is what's got to happen. And will it manifest? Frequently, yes, particularly early on, to show you that this stuff works. But it's when you release the death grip on it that life can open up and bring you surprises. Her chapter on surrender is surrender to surprise. Because so often we think this is the way life has got to go. And when it doesn't go that way, we get frustrated. How many times, though, she said, it's actually so obvious. Things are not going to go exactly as we plan ever. But if we stop expecting surprise and move fast at this fantasy of control, then what happens? We end up taking it all personally. We feel disappointed. We feel angry. We feel anxiety because we can't totally control it all. Thank heavens. If I thought every single thought I had was going to totally manifest, I'd be in real trouble. My brain sorts through all kinds of stuff in the course of a day. But it's where do you put your intention, your energy, your life force, and your love? That's what impels forward. And when you're willing to be surprised, it opens up a whole life of wonder for you. She says, when we set intention and claim purpose, we often step forward with great certainty. That's good. But a gap always opens up between what we think will happen and what actually does. This gap is surprise. If you look at it as surprise rather than, oh, a pothole in my life, the way you're perceiving it is different, and then you can incorporate it in. We may be maintaining peace of mind, moving at the pace of guidance, practicing certainty of purpose, but that doesn't mean we know how we're going to reach a goal or who and what is going to come along and either help or hinder us on the way. It's letting the story unfold, remembering it's not about controlling, it's about soul growth. And so let your story unfold. My favorite stories are always the ones that have imagination and that have interesting turns of events where you think it's going to go this way and it goes that way. Aren't those the fun ones? The surprise, the wonder. Be like a child. One of the things that she did at one point in her life was she decided that she was going to imagine herself back when she was in college and that her current 47-year-old self would go back and talk to that 22-year-old. Would that 22-year-old be surprised at where they ended up? I know I would. I'd be amazed. I would not have predicted this at 22. So here is the 47-year-old approaching the 22-year-old. "Hello, Chrissy," the I at 47 wrote. "I just wanted to say that things are going to be okay, but it's not going to turn out the way you expect." At 22, she looks at me blankly. My pen hurries on. "I mean, you're not going to marry Tim, and your brother's about to be drafted to Vietnam, but he won't be killed. You'll get a job in San Francisco just like you want, but you'll be living in Europe before you're 25. You're going to have an unusual life, outside traditional marriage, outside traditional work. Even though you turned down graduate school, you're going to end up teaching and writing books. Isn't that amazing? So I wonder, do you have any questions?" The 22-year-old self scrutinized this woman who was her mother's age. "I have just one question," she ventured. "Who are you?" We are a blend of that certainty of purpose and surrendering to surprise. I had one of the retreats at Crystal Mountain that I went on. I'd been here about a year and a half staying at the Goldsmiths. Lane and I were still trying to decide if we could make the move. And they recommended you do a meditation, and you go and let yourself at your end of your life come back and talk to you where you are now, from that perspective down there, which is what she was doing here. And so I went into meditation, and I was really struggling. I said, "It's been a year and a half. We haven't found a house. We're having to fly back and forth all the time between Dallas and Seattle. Am I doing the right thing? It feels right, but let me know. Let me know." Because we're spending a lot of money going back and forth. And how long do we do it for? And my old self looked and smiled and said, "Always follow your heart. Always follow your soul calling." And he said, "In the course of your life, the amount of money you're spending on those airline tickets is nothing. Stop putting such importance on that. It doesn't matter. What matters is, are you following your heart and your calling, that certainty of purpose of your soul?" And I was like, "Yeah, thank you." And I needed that from that voice in the future, because it helped remind me of how it's about moving with life as it unfolds. And surrendering to surprise is a great spiritual practice. Years ago, during an Easter Sunday service, I said, surrender is not giving up, it's giving up. It's lifting whatever it is up. It's seeking that higher point of view so that you notice what is happening. You work with what is happening. You accept what is happening, knowing that it is all part of the unfolding of life, with shadow and with dark. There is one line that really touched me deeply. You can only serve the light to the extent that you can stand the dark. Being at peace in times of shadow and challenge help you grow the strength of your soul. But I find that just as much as growing my soul, it grows my empathy for others. And then love can be something that can be activated, whether your surprise is one that is good or one that is a challenge. All of the surprises are here to help us grow and to evolve. So recognizing that the challenge surprises are gifts to unwrap as well changes the whole way you perceive the challenges when they come. Awareness of how surprise supports us is one of the greatest spiritual skills we can ever develop. Surprise, surprise. There's a wonderful piece that was written by Emily Pearl Kingsley, and she talks about how they had a Downs child. They weren't expecting that. And she did an article that she actually presented at a conference first. And it's Welcome to Holland. And it's they plan this trip, and they're planning on going to Italy, and they've done all the research on Italy. They're ready to be in Italy. And instead, they end up in Holland. The child they thought they were going to have was not the child that was gifted to them. And she said that you had to go through that process of dealing with this deep soul surprise. And she said part of the work was releasing Italy so you could embrace Holland. And then realizing all the wonderful things that are in Holland. It's just different. Clara Claiborne Park, who's the mother of an autistic daughter, said, "This experience we did not choose, which we would have given anything to avoid, has made us different, has made us better. And I will not change the last word of the story. It is still love, always love." So I invite you to surrender to surprise while holding your intentions. It's like two wings that will keep you aloft. One, certainty of purpose, and the other is just letting it go and flying with spirit into things you could never have thought of yourself. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet spirit. Oh, we are so grateful that we can open to see our lives truly as soul journeys. And as soul journeys, we can recognize a deep soul calling and how that can play out in the little everyday ways with where we choose to serve, what we choose to do. We open this day knowing that we have an internal soul calling and that we are blessed with that. And in response to that soul calling, there is a world full of wonder and miracles and surprise that will help you grow in faith and grace and wisdom, compassion and love, if you're simply willing to embrace all that comes and know that with this, you can choose and then open your eyes and see what surprises are before you. Let us play with the story of our souls in this lifetime, this coming week, seeing where we began, where we are, and perhaps taking a little time with where we will be. And let all of those remind us of the magic and wonder of the unfolding of our soul in this incarnation, in this lifetime, in this shared world together. And so it is. Om, Amen, and blessed be.